Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. Kevin, welcome to the show. How you doing, man?
I'm good. It's going to probably take a winning lottery ticket for me to announce my retirement, I think.
Join the club, man. First of all, it's a little strange for us to be talking. Usually, I'm on the other side of the glass chatting, so we're going to chat, okay, if that works for you this afternoon.
It certainly does. Looking forward to it.
Before I get into some goaltender stuff, your thoughts on All-Star Weekend? Because by all reports, I wasn't there, but I was reading, I was following, watching. It looked like Nashville really hit a home run with All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hard to argue with the environment. Obviously, a city that knows how to have a good time and has embraced hockey in a pretty big way over the past couple of years, and by all accounts, put on a great show. And you know, hey, 3-on-3 was something different, and we got some answers as to how it might look. I think it was more competitive than the game has been in the past. A little more space to show off some of the skill that we know these guys have, and hey, that includes the goaltenders too, because there were some 5-alarm stops mixed in there as well. And I think, you know, that's one of the things is obviously biased as the goalie guy, but
yep.
You know, when we talk about offense disappearing, I think more in terms of scoring chances disappearing. And what we saw yesterday was, you know, when the scoring chances increase and you get good looks, there's nothing wrong from an entertainment aspect with a great save. And there were some that, you know, had people on the edge of their seats, I'm sure, in the building, and had me kind of shaking my head watching on TV back here in Vancouver. And you know, that's the thing. It's so much focused on goals and goal scoring. And to me, it's just all about creating more chances first. And I think you'll give the goalies a chance to show just how good they are. The problem with today's game is too often, as a result of the systems in front of them, you know, they're able to make positional saves, and they're taught to make positional saves. But if you need them to go outside of that box, I think we saw especially the best of the best. They certainly can yesterday.
Yeah, let's look back on some of the performances yesterday or some of the players that were involved in the game. Roberto Luongo is 36, but it seems like he has found the fountain of youth. It seems like he's really enjoying his time back in Florida. What have you seen from Luongo so far through the first two-thirds of the season?
I've seen the same guy that I got to see here in Vancouver, and by that I mean a guy who constantly works at his game and looks for ways to get better. And, you know, if he hadn't continued to evolve, then, yeah, the contract that everybody worried about would have been a worry. That you know, there's no way he's playing arguably his best hockey. And he will tell you he's never been better technically than he is right now. And he didn't fall into that. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, goes to work August 1st with his goalie coach. And the benefit of being in Florida now is he can work with the Florida goalie coach starting August 1st. So they're on the same page in terms of his style and the system they're playing in front of him from day one. And he's talked about that making a huge difference. He used to fight October, always struggled numbers-wise in October, and the rest of the year he was playing catch-up. Well, this year he's off to a great start. He was on the ice with Talas August 1st, like I said, 5 days a week, and just going to work on little technical improvements in his game, making sure that everything is sharp. And so that hasn't changed, I think, no question. Talking to Robbie Talas, it's not just, you know, we tend to think of goaltending never exists in a vacuum, and we hear a lot about, you know, good defensive systems and good defensive teams and goalies always benefit. Well, I think you can take it a step further in Florida. Robbie Talas went to work this summer with John Madden, who coaches the defense, obviously was a forward, but under the you know, the famously stingy New Jersey Devils is where he spent most of his career. They went to work taking a look at their system, not just to, hey, how can we be better defensively, but what specifically do we decide to give up and what do we allow as it pertains to Roberto's strengths? And Roberto's strengths are reading a play, challenging to the edge of his crease, and making clean saves. If he can see it, you got a good chance of him, if not stifling any rebounds, certainly putting it in a safe spot. And so they kind of rebuilt their defensive structure, not with an eye towards just blanket statement good defense, but with an eye towards specifically fitting it to Roberto's game. And I think you're seeing the benefits. And I've heard that from goalie coaches over the years, that, you know, first team to kind of figure this out, that rather than let's build the system and ask our goalie to adapt to it, let's adapt the system to our goalie, is going to win. And I think you're seeing that some of that is playing out with the Florida Panthers right now.
Kevin, we saw it in the skills competition and a touch during 3-on-3, but do you think teams should be using their goaltenders more in 3-on-3? Some of these guys are really good at handling the puck in their own. And do you expect to see teams start to utilize their goaltenders passing more in 3-on-3?
Well, I'm curious to see if it happens, because some of the goalies think they're not being utilized enough. Talk to Pekka before the All-Star game. And, you know, obviously in the All-Star game, there's less pressure. You're not worried about your goalie making a mistake, because even the ones that handle it really well, you know, to be honest, no coach is going to trust them as much as having that puck on a defenseman's stick. So he felt going into the All-Star game that they could use goaltenders more, not just stretch passes and breakaways and setting up rushes. I think what you saw yesterday was the referees not having a quick whistle. That played to a lot of the goaltender assists, and there were 4 assists for goalies in that game yesterday. And if you've ever played 3-on-3, that's what it's like. They're always encouraging the goalies to kind of keep playing the puck and keep the flow going. So I don't know if you're going to see as much of that, but what Pekka thought and what Ben Bishop echoed was, you know, it's all about possession in 3-on-3 right now. And you're seeing teams, you know, regroup, pull it back out to try and get a line change. But rather than attacking and taking what may be a crappy shot, giving up possession and then rushing back to the bench and hoping you don't get caught on a change. And what Rene said and what Bishop echoed was, throw it back to me. Like, if you're circling in the zone and there's nothing there and you need a change, rather than trying to force a shot and then giving up possession, throw it back to me. Let me come up to the high blue line, hold the puck while you make a change, or even change one guy. You know, force the other team to make a decision. If they go for the long change at the same time, leave a guy high at the blue line that I can hit with a long pass. And so interesting, he said they talked about it as a team, but they hadn't really exploited it. They hadn't tried to execute on it yet. And I do wonder if seeing the success that the teams had with that in the All-Star game might lead a few more coaches to, if not think about implementing it, and certainly try and actually make it happen. Like, you know, not just talk about it, not just pay it lip service, as Rene said the Preds have done so far this season. So kind of curious down the stretch to see if we see that more often, teams just kind of dropping it back to their goalie and trusting him to make an outlet pass and allow them to kind of, again, keep possession and change their personnel.
We're joined by Kevin Woolley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com on the Jason Greger Show. Mijot in for Greger this afternoon. Kevin, over All-Star weekend, some goalies got their first look at some streamlined new goaltending gear. What have you heard of the new prototypes? Is it good? Is it bad? Have you heard anything about the weekend?
From what I've heard, is just mostly there's a little bit of an element of that's it. That maybe some guys were expecting it to look a little more radically different. And the reality is we're not talking about an extreme difference. We're talking about rounding off an edge here and an edge there, and you know, maybe an inch here and a half an inch there, and every inch counts certainly for goaltenders. But I think the thing I heard most from the goalies I saw was, you know, kind of maybe a little bit underwhelming. And I think it's going to be important for the NHL not to oversell these changes if they're going to do it right. And they're probably, you know, I kind of argued from the beginning that there's not much more. You can take some of the squareness off of the shoulders and make it contour more to the body. Yes, you can make it a little bit smaller, for sure. This is much needed. But don't expect it to look radically different, because I don't think you can safely crank it down and shrink wrap these guys the way others have suggested. Puck's just coming at you too hard. And if you take away that element, you know, the air cushion is a real thing. It's not like a bulletproof vest. It'll save your life, but you're not walking around for a few days because you're black and blue in a bulletproof vest, which is skin tight to your body. You need a little bit more of that air gap. And so the sense I get early is that they weren't kind of, they didn't blow anybody away. Yeah, it's going to be smaller, but it's not going to be radical. And I think people need to prepare for that. And that the NHL probably needs to continue to tinker and continue to try and work with the equipment companies to make this a first step and keep going. But if anybody thinks it's going to be radical and these guys are going to look like they're wearing, you know, suit jackets instead of a body armor, you know, I think you got to be careful here. If you create that expectation, you're going to have people disappointed. And you know, at the time you announce it, you'll have people screaming for more already. So I don't get the sense this is going to be radical. Will it make a difference? Yeah. Hey, the other changes have made a difference. The 2 inches off the pads, I go through a lot of video, and I see a lot of goals that squeak through the five hole that weren't going through 2 or 3 years ago. So they won't look radical. They won't be big changes, but they will make a difference. The changes that Kay Whitmore has made already are making a difference. pucks that go under pads because they've eliminated some of the gap on the in, or some of the wedges that guys used to employ on the inside edge of the pads to make it harder to seal the ice when they're down in the butterfly or while they're moving. These things have all had an impact. Just don't be surprised if it isn't a radical look or a radical change in look, and that the impact is measured in, you know, 5 to 10 goals over a year, not 5 to 10 goals a week.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joining us on the Jason Gregor Show at Crease Lightning. Over the last couple weeks, Kevin, we've talked, or you and Jason have talked, about how Pekarinen in Nashville seems to be struggling with the fewer shots he's receiving. And in an article on NHL.com, you actually broke it down that, yeah, Pekarinen is worse with the less with the less shots that he gets. He's a goaltender that needs to be constantly working.
Well, yeah, and we talked about it, that I thought that was a theory, and the reason it made sense to me is that Pekka plays a very aggressive, very athletic game, and it's a game that he will be the first to tell you relies on a lot of rhythm and timing, and nothing disrupts rhythm and timing like not seeing a puck for 5 minutes in the course of a game. And you know, overall, are the Predators, you know, they're second in the league right now in terms of fewest shots against, behind the Carolina Hurricanes, who, incidentally, both their goaltenders have found this to be an adjustment, not getting a lot of shots, going large, long chunks of time during a game without seeing any rubber. When you looked at the numbers, when I talked to Pekka, he agreed wholeheartedly. I mean, and at the end of the day, if a goalie feels it's harder, then that affects, you know, sort of his confidence and his and how he's approaching the game mentally. And, you know, no matter what the statistics say, it's having an impact. In Rinne's case, I just looked at this year, and there have been their average is around 26.7 shots a game. In the games, 22 times this year, he's seen fewer than 26 shots. His save percentage in those games is .890. In the rest of the games, it's .919, which is right around his career average. In the 8 games he's seen 30 or more, his save percentage .932. In the 5 games they've allowed fewer than 20, that's 5 games this year where they've given up less than 20 shots, his save percentage is .845. And, you know, that was for the NHL.com article. And one of the writers at In Goal Magazine, Claire Austin, took it to the next step. And she really had a look at his entire career, did a great job, broke down his save percentage for the entire career, and you can see that story right now, like I said, on ingoalmag.com, and the correlation is clear. I mean, as the shot totals go down, so does his save percentage. You give him 30 to 35 shots a night, and it's above .940. Anything below 22.5 shots, and he's down, you know, just over .900. I mean, there's a pretty big gap there, and so that's not something that exists for all goalies. Fewer shots does not necessarily harder for all goalies. Statistically speaking, there is no correlation that would indicate it's tougher. But I think you're looking at a case-by-case scenario, and guys who rely a lot more on rhythm and timing, and Pekka is one of those, struggle. And I think the numbers that I had just based on this season and then Claire taking it to another extreme and breaking down his entire career, they support that. And so the next question is, okay, why? And I think the style of play is part of it. And for Pekka, it's not so much, hey, this is an excuse, as it's an explanation. It's a realization that, wow, this is different, and I need to approach things a little differently. Now, he's not going to go away from the style of play. We talked about that, you know, and he's had those conversations with his goalie coaches. He believes that what separates him as a goalie is his ability to play that aggressive athletic game. So for him, instead of changing that and being a little more positionally based, he's just trying to break the game down into 5-minute increments and just kind of make sure he's focused whether he's busy or not. Understand it's harder and try and deal with it. The other thing he's doing is, if you watch his game, and he was here in Vancouver the other night before the break, he is trying to handle everything. You talk about puck handling goalies. I mean, he is going behind the net to get pucks that are rimmed in around the glass, catching them out of the air as they're rimmed in around the glass, or throwing his body against the boards to knock them down and then handle them. And there's times where you wonder about the wisdom of it, because you're not really supposed to get anything that's up on the dasher boards, just get the ones that are rimmed in low. But he wants to handle everything because that's how he's staying engaged. That's how he's trying to overcome the mental block for him that is low shot total. So it's fascinating to see. He feels like he's adjusting to it. He feels like he's getting in a rhythm without less shots. And I think you saw that in the 3 straight wins heading into the break. And it'd be really interesting to see whether he's able to continue that down the stretch.
Kevin, quickly, the Oilers welcome the Columbus Blue Jackets tomorrow night, their first game back after the All-Star break. Columbus, they have two goalies on the IR right now. We've seen Bobrovsky, Forsberg, Korpisalo, and Curtis McIlhenny all get starts for the Blue Jackets at some point this season. How do you describe, I guess, like the tire fire that's been the Blue Jackets goaltending all season long?
Well, obviously, it probably has more to do with it's more than just goaltending. But, you know, clearly this is an organization that put a lot of eggs in the Bobrovsky basket, and it's proved brittle. And, they've talked about this repeated groin tear being, you know, the last couple have been less significant than the last one. And this guy is a workout fiend. His habits are second to none in terms of the amount of work he puts in. Clearly they're going to have to take a look at whether that's too much, whether he's working too hard, lifting too much, whatever it is. You'd think they'd be on top of that already. I suspect they've probably had an MRA done on the hips. So often repetitive groin injuries end up being the result of a problem with the hips. As soon as you have a structural problem within the labrum or within that hip socket, it pulls more and it relies more on the groins to compensate for it. And we've seen it with Columbus, Pascal Leclerc just constantly wrecking his groins there. And when he was traded to Ottawa, they discovered, hey, lo and behold, he needed hip surgery. So I'm sure they've investigated that. I think that's Curtis McIlhenny is perfect as a guy who can go in and spell Bobrovsky. Asking him to carry the load for too long is a pretty big ask. They're trying to use him to bridge the gap to the other two, the young guys, who probably aren't ready right now, are being forced into it a little early. And as soon as you put that much on one guy and he's not able to stay healthy, you know, things just kind of crumble when he does get injured. And you know, I think McIlhenny is capable of carrying the load for short stretches, but when you lose him as well, the team's not good enough to ask that much of the young guys that they've got in coming to. And those are guys with a pretty good pedigree. I've heard some really good things about the upside in both cases, in Forsberg, and we can't forget Oscar Dansk as well. A lot of positives there, but they've been put in situations they're probably not ready for. And the question becomes, are you going to keep putting them in those situations, or are you confident you can solve whatever it is that's ailing Bobrovsky physically pretty much on an annual basis? He seems to have missed time here every year, and obviously a ton of it this year. And you can't have a guy you rely on that much, you know, unable to kind of step in and do the job when you need him to. I mean, Josh Harding in Minnesota is the closest comparable I can draw. Josh Harding was a great goaltender, but the Wild just couldn't count on him. And it wasn't, I'm not talking about the MS and that diagnosis. I mean the knee injuries, the hip injuries. It was just the ankle injury, the injury in preseason, just one thing after another. And it's just really hard when it's such an important position and when you're putting that much of your cap hit into it to continue to go back to a guy that continually lets you down physically because his body's letting him down.
Kevin, this was great. I appreciate your time. You'll chat with Jason next Monday. Thanks for your time today, man.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com for